Well, good morning, everybody. The calendar is rushing round very quickly, it seems to me, and we're on the second Sunday before Advent. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and
And
also
also
with
with you.
you. O Lord, open our lips, and
And
our
our
mouths
mouths
shall
shall
proclaim
proclaim
your
your praise.
praise. The Lord is King. Earth be glad. Rejoice. Rejoice. God rules with righteousness and justice. Lord Almighty, you are ruler of all the earth. We remember what you have done. We give you thanks, and we come now to worship you.
Amen.
Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And our prayer of confession. I'm sorry, God, if I've missed the point of being a Christian. I'm sorry, God, if I have wavered in my faith, wandered from the path, and followed the wrong group. I'm sorry, God, if I've caused hurt and pain to those who love me. I'm sorry, God, if I have been lazy in my faith and witness to you. I'm sorry, God, for all of this, and I ask you to forgive me. Amen.
Amen.
The Almighty God, who never fails us, hears our prayers, our confession and our sorrow, and gives us now the assurance that our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Our first reading this morning is Paul's second letter to the church in Thessalonia, chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, labouring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, you gave us this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
Thanks
be
be
to
to
God.
God. Our psalm today is a wonderful psalm of praise, Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song and music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be forever. Amen.
Our second reading is taken from Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they're about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and on all account of my name. So you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So Paul's second letter to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 3. My thanks to Frank L. Crouch, a retired dean and professor of New Testament emeritus, whose sermon inspired many of these thoughts today. A couple of weeks ago, I was faced with a dilemma, which I'm sure each of you has experienced at some time or another. Sue and I had dropped into a supermarket in Portugal to pick up something for supper. As I parked, I was immediately approached by a young man who said he was hungry and asked me for money. I refused to give him any money, but said I would buy him some food while I was in the supermarket. My initial concern was that I didn't know what any money I gave him would be spent on. Drugs, who knows? But I was happy to assuage his hunger, and I told him so. On returning to the car, he was sitting on the wall outside the supermarket. So I handed him what looked like to me to be a delicious sausage roll from their bakery. He was indifferent and not at all grateful, and put it down in its bag beside him on the wall. As we drove away, I spotted him in my rearview mirror approaching another car that had just pulled in. Hey ho. Without being political, one of the most demanding questions of any government is where to pitch welfare support. Who qualifies for help? Paul was obviously keen to see that the baby church he was growing in Thessalonica would develop in the right way. There had obviously been problems in the church, and he was addressing it, as we saw in today's reading. In Scripture, the question of how we justly distribute food and other resources within our communities lies on a continuum. The statement from Paul is on one end, anyone unwilling to work should not eat. And a statement from Jesus is on the other end. Give to everyone who begs from you. The Greek word for begs, aiteo, can also be translated as asks, requests, pleads for, demands. So give anyone who begs from you and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. That's in Matthew chapter 5. Or if we go back to the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 11, it says, "Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbour in your land." So, where do we pitch in on this continuum? Each of these three, Paul, Jesus, and the words of Deuteronomy, pose questions. To Paul, anyone unwilling to work should not eat. What if someone is willing to work but unable to find a job? How can we justify what unable to work to find a job means? Or if someone is able to work but has lots of money and therefore is unwilling to work, should that person eat? Or do we make an exception for them? Or there again, is there an age limit for being willing to work? Too young or too old? Does simply being of retirement age excuse someone from being willing to work? Is there an ability consideration, either physical or cognitive? Well, thanks, St. Paul. That gives us lots to ponder. Let's move on to Jesus. Wait, give to everyone who asks, everyone? Paul said, I don't have to give to lazy people. What about that? Or what if they're a con man or a drug addict or an abuser? That was the problem I sort of had in Portugal. And if we look at Deuteronomy, okay, open my hand to a needy neighbour. Then tell me, in the question that was asked of Jesus, who is my neighbour? What constitutes needy? This passage in Thessalonians really is a dilemma. What problem is Paul solving that causes him to slant his words so thoroughly to one end of the giving spectrum? Despite the common assumption that he addresses poor people, taking advantage of others' generosity, the letter does not say that the problematic people are poor, just that they're idle and busybodies. Although this could be a group of poor people who are lazy, Paul does not identify them by their economic status. He could also be referring to a group of the idle rich with resources for doing good, but who spend their time meddling, throwing their weight around because they can. Regardless of what behaviour occurred that Paul described as unwilling to work, he's definitely concerned about its impact on the church community and its ministry. Paul describes the problem by reminding them of the example that he set and how they're not following that example. To paraphrase Paul, we weren't idle when we were with you, because we didn't have to be. We paid for what we ate, because we could. We didn't want to be a burden on anyone, because we didn't have to be. We were setting an example of how, if God has given us capabilities and gifts, we should put them to use for the good of others, for you, even if we weren't required to. Paul is not trying to establish a social services policy for the city of Thessalonica. He's trying to establish a do good for others even when you don't have to ethic among those who seek to follow Christ. He came to town, did not have to work, had the right as an apostle not to work, but because he could work and contribute to the good of the whole, he did. Work here, of course, is not limited to earning a paycheck, but is focused on fulfilling whatever purpose God has called us to fulfill. If there's anything good that we can do, do it. If there's something good we can give, give it. Even if we don't have to, even if we have a right not to. The closing sentence of this passage sums up Paul's principles here. The New Revised Standard Version translated, "Do not be weary in doing what is right." It offers a counterbalance to the idea that anyone unwilling to work should not eat. Rather than advising us to pursue ways to stop ourselves from helping others in need or limiting our help only to those who prove they deserve it, Paul ends by tilting suddenly over to the other end of the giving continuum. He ultimately calls on the Thessalonians, and of course us today, to hold some combination of the following as our ethical goal. Don't get tired of doing what is right. Don't get sick of doing good. Never stop lifting up those around you if you can. Don't ever give up on doing good. Do whatever good you can, whenever you can, wherever you can, in whatever ways you can, even if you don't have to. Verse 13 says clearly, "And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good." Amen.
We come now to our intercessions. Lord God, of what was and what is yet to come, today we focus on you in our now. On this Safeguarding Sunday, we lift before you all those people in need of protection and support. We pray for all ages who are neglected, trafficked, abused, exploited, wrongly accused and marginalized here and around the world. We pray for all people and organizations seeking to protect and support the vulnerable. Be with those organizations who walk our streets seeking to help the lost and the homeless escape a life of loneliness, danger, and emptiness. Lord
Lord God
God,
of
in
our
our now,
now,
we
we pray
pray
for
for all
all
your
your
suffering
suffering people,
people,
for
for
all
all offering
offering
a
a helping
helping
hand
hand
and
and
renewed
renewed
hope.
hope.
Turn
Turn
drab
drab monochrome
monochrome lives
lives
into
into ones
ones
of
of
colour.
colour.
Lord God, we pray for your church. Break down barriers. Where there are diversions, bring unity. Sorry, divisions bring unity, that we may be effective witnesses, drawing others to your truth and salvation. Lord
Lord
God,
God, in
in our
our
now,
now,
dispel
dispel
darkness.
darkness. Help
Help
us
us
to
to discern
discern
fake
fake
and
and
distorted
distorted
truths
truths within
within
all
all areas
areas
of
of life,
life, in
in order
order
that
that we
we may
may live
live
in
in
truth.
truth
And
and be
be
your
your
guiding
guiding
light
light
in
in today's
today's
world.
world.
Lord God, as COP30 takes place in Brazil, we lift before you all global climate issues. As our planet warms up, reducing polar ice caps, we see more winds, wildfires, droughts, and floods. We pray for the Philippines and Vietnam hit by typhoons. And for Jamaica, still reeling from Hurricane Melissa. As well as climate issues affecting our world, we also pray for an end to the destruction wrought by war. Bring peace to areas of war and conflict, and we think of Ukraine, Palestine, Syria, and Tanzania. Lord
Lord
God,
God,
in
in
our
our
now,
now,
we
we pray
pray
for
for peace
peace
in
in
the
the world,
world, that
that
we
we
may
may
live
live
in
in
harmony,
harmony, knowing
knowing
your
your
comfort
comfort and
and compassion.
compassion.
We
We
ask
ask
your
your
hand
hand
and
and
guidance
guidance on
on
all
all
who
who attempt
attempt
to
to bring
bring
peace.
peace. Help
Help us
us
be
all
better
better peacemakers
peacemakers
and
and stewards
stewards
of
of
our
our
planet,
planet, our
our country,
country,
our
our
nation,
nation,
and
and
our
our
own
own communities.
communities. Lord God, we pray for our own environments. May those in authority look to you and govern diligently with true transparency. We ask for your hand on all local hospitals and the crises in A&E departments where people line corridors and ambulances queue to discharge patients before returning to respond to further calls. We lift before you all living in constant pain, be it physical or emotional. And we pray for and remember those in our community, thinking especially this morning of Steph, Jacques, Rosemary, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, John, Tom, Margaret, Elizabeth, Joy, David, Tony, Anne, Julie, Herbert, Ali, Brian, and Gilbert. And all in Reckonford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. And we pray for the family and friends of those who have recently died: Harry Hann, Chris Whitehead, Leslie Smith, Betty Steed, Cynthia Windsor, and Arthur Henson. We pray for all in our communities exhausted from working two or three jobs just to make ends meet in today's financial turmoil. We pray for all who desire to work, but for whatever reason are unable to do so.
Lord
Lord,
God,
in our now,
now
have
have mercy
mercy
and
and meet
meet
all
all
needs.
needs.
Help
Help
us
us
all
all
to
to
live
live
proactively
proactively
for
for
you,
you, helping
helping where
where we
we can
can
as
and
we
we
await
await your
your return.
return.
Amen.
Amen. The Collect for the second Sunday before Advent. Heavenly Lord, you long for the world's salvation. Stir us from apathy. Restrain us from excess and revive in us new hope that all creation will one day be healed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray together. Our
Our
Father
Father
in
in
heaven,
heaven,
hallowed be
hallowed be
your
your name.
name. Your kingdom come,
Your
your will
will
be
be done
done on
on
earth
earth as
as
in
in
heaven.
heaven. Give
Give
us
us
today
today
our
our
daily
daily
bread.
bread.
Forgive
Give
us
us our
our sins
sins
as
as
we
we
forgive
forgive
those
those
who
who
sin
sin
against
against
us.
us.
Lead
Lead
us
us
not
not
into
into
temptation,
temptation,
but
but
deliver
deliver
us
us
from
from
evil.
evil.
For
For
the
the
kingdom,
kingdom,
the
the
power,
power,
and
and
the
the
glory
glory
are
are
yours,
yours,
now
now
and
and
forever.
forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen. God of spring and summer, autumn and winter, we adore you. God of past and present and times to come, we adore you. God of the darkest night and the brightest day, we adore you. God of love and peace and hope, and joy, we adore you. God of all times and in all places, we adore you now. Amen.